building and we're tuning online, make some noise in the chat. Hello, hello. If you're not in the sanctuary yet, come on, make your way in. We are getting started. Oh my, my name is James Harrington. If I have not met you yet, I would love to meet you. And if you couldn't tell, I'm amped right now because we are in week three of a series that we have been calling Dress for Success. And Adam is actually going to come bring us the word of God this morning. It's going to be good. So before we get into worship, if there's any questions that you might have about the church, if there's any questions you might have about Jesus or about our leadership, you can find them all online at seaportcommunitychurch.org, and or you can go to the Church Center app and find it through there. So are y'all ready to worship? Come on, y'all gonna make some more noise than that. Are y'all ready to worship? All right, we're standing up. And before we get into to worship this morning, I just wanted to, I think we're doing some fight songs this morning, right? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if y'all are ready to go to battle this morning, but if you look at Joshua, if you open the book of Joshua, we find this amazing story of God providing for his chosen people. And when we go to 6:20, you see the Canaanites were turned from God, and subsequently, they were a sinful city. They were sinful people. And so God uses his chosen people and uses the act of worship to take over sin. And so when we look at 6, starting in verse 20, we see, "So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city." I don't know what fortified problem, what fortified sin is in your life right now, but we're about to call the walls down. Amen? Amen? So, Father, as we enter into this time of worship, Father, help us to worship heart abandoned, Lord. Help us to enter in fully. Help us to not hold anything back, Father. And Lord, as we're giving our praise to you, as we're shouting our praise to you, Father, Lord, as we draw near to you, you draw near to us, Father. So I pray that you would move through this time, that you would encounter us in a fresh way, Father, and that you would speak to the things that are holding us down, Father, and they would come crumbling down. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for what you're going to do in the service. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's worship!
Prevail into the battle. You're the king. Into the battle, your name is breakthrough. Into the struggle, your name is victory. Our voices get louder, nothing can stop you. You hold the power, Jesus, you're the king. It's in your peace I fight, it's in your strength I rise. It's just you, Jesus. It's just you, Jesus. You cast down every lie. Your name is truth and life. It's just you, Jesus. It's just you, Jesus. It's in your peace I fight. It's in your strength I rise. It's just you, Jesus. It's just you, Jesus. You cast down every lie.
All right,
it's just you,
ready?
Jesus. It's just you, Jesus. It's in your peace I fly. It's in your strength I rise. It's just you, Jesus. It's just you, Jesus. You cast down every lie. Your name is truth and life. It's just you, Jesus. It's just you, Jesus.
In your blood.
like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And this is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And this is how.
Victory's in Jesus' name.
My 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 victory's in Jesus' name. My victory's in Jesus' name.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how.
Stay still. Hallelujah. This morning that his ways are greater than ours, because they are, and he knows best, and he wants to guide us into all good things. He works all things together for the good of those who love him. We love you, Lord. We love you in this place this morning. Jesus, we thank you for being our defender, for finding us when we were lost. You came to us. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. We are grateful in this place this morning that you are greater than us, that your ways are above our ways, Lord. We thank you.
Jesus. many of y'all know, but yesterday we did, I think, 5th installment of the Blessing Project and giving away food to those who need it most. But what's amazing about it is that every single person who drives through or interacts with one of us gets prayed for. That's powerful. And yesterday, I don't know how many of you heard, but it got a little crazy at the end. And we actually have a video right now that I want us to watch. We're going to pray for healing in a moment. We're going to pray for physical healing in a moment. But I want you to take a look at this clip. Hallelujah.
All right, we're out here at the Blessing Project. This is my new friend, Debbie. She came. We were out of boxes. We had no food, but we still had God to give her.
Right.
She came with a brace on her wrist. She fell on the ice this week, and we prayed for her. And Debbie, what happened?
A miracle happened.
What did you do with the brace that was on your wrist?
I took the brace off, and I can move my hand and my fingers.
Who did that for you today?
God.
The Lord did, right?
Yes.
She came over here saying, there's so many people who need help. I don't need prayer. And we said, God truly cares about you. And what did he do?
A miracle.
He did a miracle.
A miracle.
And praise God. All right, we're out here at the Blessing Project.
Y'all, after that, 8 more people got healed. Necks were healed. Backs were healed. We prayed for as many cars just kept coming into the parking lot. And we were like, we don't have any more food, but we can give you God. How many of y'all know that God is a living God? Come on. And 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sins and lived to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So we're going to take a moment. If you need physical healing, if you need his physical healing of any kind, it doesn't matter what the sickness is. It doesn't matter what the illness is, big or small. God is bigger than it all. Amen. So if everyone who doesn't need physical healing of some sort, if you would just sit. Those who need physical healing of any kind, please remain standing. And if you see someone around you that is currently standing right now, I want you, if you know the person and you ask and they are comfortable, to go lay hands on them. If you don't know the person, feel free to reach your hand out and extend your hand as we pray together. So Father, we trust you at your word, Lord. And your word says, by your stripes, we are healed. So, Father, in this moment, we are speaking to infirmity. We are speaking to disease. We are speaking to broken bones. We are speaking to cancer. We are speaking to bad knees. We are speaking to bad backs. Father, you said to pray on earth as it is in heaven. And last time I checked, there were no illnesses in heaven. So, Father, wash over your children right now, Father. We usher your spirit into this place. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, you see who needs what right now in this moment, Father. You see exactly what is wrong. You see the problems that are going on, Father, and you can speak to them in a moment, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We command illness to get out of their bodies. We command sickness to get out of their bodies. Hallelujah. Father, we usher in your healing touch. We usher in your healing presence. Jesus, hallelujah. We thank you for your healing touch. We thank you for who you are, God. You are a God who heals. You are a God whose first will is to heal. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Y'all, I just want to take a second. Whatever's wrong, go ahead and test it out. And if you are healed, I want to hear some praise in this place. Come on. That's okay. If there's no one right now, I'm trusting. I hear some praise. I hear some hand claps. Hallelujah. We believe it. We believe for miracles to happen in this place. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your healing touch. We're believing that miracles will take place throughout this service. We're believing that miracles will take place as we go home. We're believing that miracles will take place as we walk out our lives this week. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right. Thank you, James. Good morning, everybody. Please be seated. How's everybody doing this morning? Feeling good? All right. Hey, I'm Chris Phillips. I'm an intern here at the church. And Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie have finally, in 18 months, been able to take a Sunday off. So can we give a shout of praise for Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie? I hope you're enjoying yourself, although I'm sure you're watching. All right. Hey, we're a very welcoming church here. And if this is your first time here, we'd like to welcome you. So we always shout out a shout of praise for those that are new here. And we give you guys a good hand clap. So, hey, if this is your first time here, whether you're here in the building or you're online, welcome. So we would love to connect with you guys. So if you have not ever filled out one of these connect cards, they're up at the front. But we like to do things a lot more digitally these days, right? So if you could text the word welcome to 860-969-2145. We would love to connect with you. And then when that little thing pops up on your text message, just take a couple seconds and fill it out so we can connect with you. All right? So we're going to go right into our tithes and offering. All right? If you guys could bring up the slide. In Proverbs 3:9, it talks about honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. Everything that you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Now, you know, everything that comes into the church, we really push it out to everyone else, right? If you didn't know, we support 35 missionaries, right? Last year around Easter, we got this gigantic shipment from Walmart of stuff they didn't use from Easter. But we didn't just keep it here in the fellowship hall, right? We passed it out to, I don't know how many, I think 5 or 6 churches in the area so that way they could take part in that. And now we're doing this blessing project, right? It's the 5th week of the blessing project. It's not stuff that we're keeping here in the church. We are taking it and passing it out to the community, right? So there's a couple of ways that you can give here today, right? You can either text the amount or dollar sign and the amount to 84321. You can use it through our app, or you can, you know, if you like to go old school, we still have these little collection envelopes that you can drop in the collection spot out in the front there. All right, so I'd just like to take a couple minutes to pray with you guys. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to be good stewards of your money. We want to be this to be a perspective switch for everybody, that it's not just our stuff. It's really everything that comes from you, Lord, and we just want to take part. And this is our statement and our gratitude that you have delivered us and provisioned us for everything that we need, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us, and we just want to give back to you so you can bless others, Lord. It's in your great grace that we pray. Amen. All right, now I'm just going to introduce Melissa Jones is coming up. She's the director of our children's ministry for a couple of words.
Thanks, Chris. So good morning. You just heard a little bit about Easter. So as you know, because of certain COVID precautions still in place, we're not going to be able to host our annual Easter egg hunt for the kids. But we have 2 fantastic opportunities instead. So Seaport Community Church will be creating Easter baskets this year for our Seaport kids. Along with this, we will be providing baskets for you to use as an evangelism tool to personally invite a family to Easter service. The baskets are appropriate for ages 3 to 11 and will be extravagant. Step 1, if you would like your child to receive one of these baskets, you can simply register on our app. Step 2, begin praying about who you can invite to Easter service. Then register for these baskets on our app as well. Remember, these baskets are specifically being provided to you as a way for you to personally invite a family to join you at Easter service. The baskets are 1 per child. as I mentioned, for ages 3 to 11. And if you don't have children, you may still register for the outreach baskets. Both of these opportunities may be registered for on the Church Center app. I'll also post the link in our Seaport Connection page later so you can follow from there as well. Registration opened today, and it closes on March 23rd. So act fast because there is a cap. Once you register, you'll receive further details via email just with how you're going to pick it up, the dates and times. If you have any questions, refer them to me. You can call me, text me, send me a Facebook message, and I can give you more details. And then next, don't forget to join us this Wednesday night for a time of worship and then celebration as we honor our Impact and Royal Ranger kids and teens with their accomplishments. So this is their half-year award ceremony. It is such an amazing time to come out and watch all of our kids shine. But what makes it even better is when we have a full house here to cheer them on. So I encourage you to come out Wednesday. Like I said, we'll start with a time of worship, and then we'll jump right into honoring our kids, and we can see them shine. Now we are going to get a quick video update from Pastor Brad with a few more announcements.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Pastor Brad here. I'm so excited about what God is doing. I think you are probably too. But for the very first time in 18 months, Pastor Debbie and I decided to take a Sunday off and just kind of catch our breath. But you know what? I'm going to be back because I wouldn't want to miss Wednesday night as we recognize our boys and girls, our Rangers and Impact for all the hard work. This is such a great evening. Be part of it and support them. You'll be glad that you did. Also, I'm excited about what Melissa and Pastor Debbie have come up with for an Easter outreach project with the baskets. Wow, register and jump in and be part of that and invite somebody. Hey, I have a very important announcement about upcoming services. So stay with me. Also, if you want to be involved in the Seaport, we have a ministry called Activate. We're going to call it Activate Plus because we're going to do it a little unusual next time. Stay tuned for that. Every Friday night, Chris has about 14 or 15 teens that come for chill night, and he even gets them to clean the church. Can you imagine? Wow, parents, it can be done. Wow. Anyway, so here's the big announcement. Seaport's growing, and even though Governor Lamont has lifted the capacity restrictions, it doesn't help us much because our kids' areas are maxed out. So on Palm Sunday, March 28th, and Easter Sunday, April 4th, we are going to go to two services, 9:15 and 11. They're identical, and they offer the same kind of nursery and kids program for both. So there'll be a registration involved. So be part of that. We're looking forward to it. If you're new to Seaport, whether you're online or in person, I'm really looking forward to meeting you. Thankful for all that God is doing. Hey, I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night for the awards. Hey, good morning.
All right, so that's awesome that they got to take the day off today, right? Let's give them one more shout of praise for some renewal. All right, who's ready for the message today? So over the last couple of weeks, we've been walking through, as James said, this series called Dress for Success, in which we've been talking about the full armor of God, or Ephesians 6:10. And the first week, Pastor Brad, he was talking to us about what? The shield of faith, right? And how we were staving off those fiery darts. And then last week, James brought us a powerful message on the helmet of salvation. And guess what? Today, Adam's going to be talking to us about the sword, okay? He's going to be talking to us about the sword of the spiel, which is the word of God. Adam?
Of course, they gave me the weapon, right? Because weapons are not props. Weapons are tools made for a specific purpose. They are both useful and necessary. One should never carry a weapon that you are not willing and capable of using. The sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God, that is our weapon. And it is designed to show us and tell us who God is and what is his plan for salvation so that we can hack and slash our way through the lies of this world and the current culture in order to bring the gospel to lost people. Now, if you don't feel like you are willing and or capable of wielding this weapon, let me tell you, Christian, you are called to do so. You are called to do so, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Warfare, destroy, take captive, punish. We're kind of desensitized to these words. We use them to describe video games and sporting events. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote these words to the church at Corinth, he meant them in the absolute most visceral sense one could imagine. The Apostle Paul knew what it was like to be taken captive. He knew what it was like to be punished. And eventually, he would know what it was to have his body destroyed at the hands of the Roman state for preaching the gospel, most likely by beheading. So when we hear these words, let's remember what they truly mean, and that they have eternal consequences. See, no one is a civilian in this spiritual war that we're fighting. You are either on God's team, you are either for God, His will, His design, or you are in violent rebellion against Him. There is no middle ground here. And if you don't believe me, if you think I'm sounding mean right now, you can ask Jesus, because Jesus will set you straight. Read Matthew 12:30. So if we are wielding the sword of the Spirit in our daily lives, if we are properly explaining the gospel to people, if we are calling out sin when we see it, yeah, there are going to be people that don't respond. There are going to be people that are slain, and they are led to their destruction, and God will be glorified for His justice. Now, I don't say this flippantly, because there are members of my family who are in violent rebellion against God, and I pray for their surrender, and I pray for softened hearts for them. But if they don't repent, and God punishes them, it makes God no less just. But God is also exalted in His mercy. See, ladies and gentlemen, He is also exalted because sometimes when we feel the sword of the Spirit, when it strikes us, we surrender. We feel the pain and we see the blood and we realize our sin and we say, "No more, God. I'm on your side. I've come to you. I'm yours." And God invites us in. Our weapon does all of this. It slays some. It makes allies out of others. And we are blessed in this country to never be outside of arm's reach of our sword. We have so many options for swords: hardback, paperback, journaling, apps, websites. The list goes on and on. So you're always walking around with a sword on your hip. And what's better than that? What's better than always having your weapon with you is the fact that the Holy Spirit, the one whose weapon it is, the one who forged it, if you will, the one who trains us to use it, He is always with us, and He empowers us to swing this sword. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to be scholarly to understand the Bible. That is a big misconception, because the Holy Spirit is with us. If you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you can understand the Bible, because upon salvation, that veil begins to be lifted from your eyes, you start to understand the divine authorship of the Bible. You start to value God's word, and he starts to show you more and more who he is. He shows you more and more about the nature of mankind and about how we should be walking in our day-to-day lives and what his plan is for you. And it's not immediate. Upon salvation, you don't understand the entire Bible. That's okay. Don't be intimidated by the Bible. And if you find things that you don't understand, you know what else you can do? You can ask a brother or sister in the Lord about something you've read. Mature Christians love to teach new Christians about what they're reading in the Word. Amen, mature Christians? It is a joy to talk to somebody about God's word because they want to see God at work in their life. We're all a part of the same army. We want everybody swinging their swords with the most accuracy and efficacy possible. I mean, look at the apostles. They were not academics. They were regular blue-collar guys. They went to synagogue, but they knew the Old Testament, and they hung out with Jesus for a long time. And after they listened to Jesus' teachings, and then on Pentecost, when they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit came to them, they were automatically out there preaching sermons and writing books. And they were seeing thousands come to know Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you this morning that the sword of the Spirit is just as sharp today as it was back then. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eye of him whom we must give an account. With a weapon like that, why are we so afraid to swing it? When's the last time you ever told somebody, because God says so? When we don't hold the same opinion as the world, when's the last time you said, because God said so? Oh, but I suppose they'll look at us funny, right? They'll automatically discount that argument because they don't believe. So what? So what? Are we looking to appease the sensibilities of worldly men, or are we trying to bring the truth of God to these worldly men? This skating by, this playing along with the culture, it's made us soft. It's made us lazy. We need to get back to basics. We need to get back out there and say, because God said so. We need to say it with authority. And when we say it, we need to believe it. No more weak political strategies, because we can't trust those men to carry out our beliefs anyway. No more scientific workarounds for stuff that God has already declared to be true. See, when we use worldly means to bring people into the church instead of the Word of God, when we try to look more and more like the culture instead of being set apart from the culture, that's basically handing God his sword back and saying, your sword's dull, God. It's not cutting it. But don't worry. Don't worry. I have a plan. I have a weapon, and it's sure to work. Let me tell you, any weapon that you bring to this spiritual war is a cardboard cutout of a butter knife compared to the Word of God. Look, in Acts 2, Peter did not go out and preach repentance of sin and Christ's atoning work by going out and say, well, you know what? If you unburden yourself of your wrongdoing, then your blood pressure will go down 25 points. No, he didn't say belief in a higher power would help you sleep at night. No, he said the wrath of God is upon you because you murdered his son. Repent and believe in him. Because God said so. And they all turned around and said, nah, I don't like that argument. No, he saw thousands of people turn to Christ and bow the knee and say, Jesus is Lord. No creative outreach project, no ridiculous leg-lengthening sleight of hand, no cultural songs with slightly changed lyrics. No, just the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The author of Hebrews says that the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is sharper than any mortal weapon. And what's better than that? He says you can't dodge it. There is no armor that will protect you from the sword of the Spirit. We're all laid bare before the sword, whether you believe it or not. See, your unbelief will not protect you from this weapon. And we can't let it be an excuse for us not to use it as the source of all truth. And there's two outcomes. There's two outcomes when you are exposed to the truth of the Word of God. Repentance, judgment. That's it. You either repent, you surrender to God, swear allegiance to him, or you are spiritually dead and you face God's wrath. Now, not everybody surrenders after the first blow. So we just keep swinging. We let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting, okay? We swing the sword. We bring the truth of God's word to these people. We let the Holy Spirit cut them open, discern their sinful thoughts and desires, and hopefully bring them to repentance. See, if you bring the word of God to someone and they reject it, you didn't fail. You didn't fail. You did what you were called to do. They reject the word of God because they love their sin and they hate God. But again, we keep swinging in hopes that they will surrender and join our side. Join God. Declare Christ as Lord. And we should be relieved at this. We should be relieved that it's not our responsibility. We swing, we bring the truth of the Word of God. We let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. We don't need to be clever. We don't need to have a fresh perspective. We just need to be bold in our speech and steadfast in our preaching. We need to believe it. We need to love it. We need to walk it out, and we need to speak it to people. That's it. See, if you're not prepared to swing this sword, then it's nothing but a big old target strapped to your hip. Because if people know you're a Christian, they're going to ask you to answer for your beliefs rightly. If you're not reading your Bible, how do you know what you believe? How are you supposed to present the gospel to somebody if you've never read the gospel? Now, Some of you are probably going, yeah, of course. Let me tell you that that phrase bears repeating. See, I grew up a church on Sunday, fish on Friday Catholic. Nobody ever encouraged me to read my Bible. See, I just said that I believed what my parents said they believed. That's it. That kind of belief can't save you. And look, I tell my kids all the time, when we come home, when we're talking about what they learned at church, and I say, you have to know what you believe, and you have to know why you believe it. And you should be telling your kids that too. Because as much as your faith and your life can be a great example to them and it can be a great help to them, and I'm sure that it is, your faith can't save their souls. That faith has to be theirs. And that faith is bolstered by the study of God's Word. We study God's Word because we love God and we marvel at the perfection of the weapon that He has given us. A weapon that the author of Hebrews says is living and active. But what does that mean? What does it mean that the sword of the Spirit is living and active? Well, it means that it's still effective to save the souls of men today, even though it was written thousands of years ago. What it doesn't mean is that it changes to fit today's tastes, today's narrative, the way the culture looks at things. No, the God that we serve does not change, and His Word also does not change. The way it was written back then, it is still relevant today. So we study His Word to know His character, to know the things that He's done and what He's doing. We study so that we can live a life that's submitted to Christ the way God wants us to. But that doesn't mean that everything in the Bible is prescriptive. Like, prescriptive meaning that it tells us what we should be doing. No, some of the stuff in the Bible is just descriptive. It tells us something that was done. Remember that sermon that I gave on Joshua, where I said that Joshua wasn't talking to us when he said, be strong and courageous? He was talking to the Israelite army as they went into Canaan and they were about to execute God's judgment on the Canaanite people. Yeah, that's descriptive. That is something that God did. It is not an allegory. It is not a morality tale. It is actual events that God used to forward His purposes at that time. It is not something that we are called to emulate or replicate. Now, we can draw wisdom from why God did this stuff. We can draw wisdom from what happened afterwards and what happened leading up to it. But it doesn't mean that we go into pagan nations, destroy them, and take their land from them. Now, the book of James, on the other hand, is prescriptive. It is something that we are meant to follow. James talks about our faith and the outgrowth of works that comes from it. He talks about the Christian faith in very specific ways and shows us what it's meant to look like for us to walk in submission to Christ. We have to know the difference between these two types of scriptures. Because when somebody comes to you, they know you're a Christian, and they bring up Leviticus 18, and they want to know why we still believe in a sexual ethic, and you can say, well, that's prescriptive. That is a part of God's law that's never going to pass away. It is part of God's plan and design for humanity. And they're not going to like that answer. And then they're going to say, well, what about Deuteronomy 22:11, huh? I bet you that shirt you're wearing is blended fabric. And you could say, it may be, but that was prescriptive for the Hebrew people at that time in order to set them apart from the world at large. It was done in order to make them different. Since the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, we have that to set us apart. We have the Holy Spirit to set us apart. So it was descriptive for the Hebrew people as a foreshadowing of things that are coming. It is descriptive for us because we have the Holy Spirit. We need to love the Word of God to know these sort of things. We have to have a familiarity with our weapon. So we do things like we take notes in our Bible and we highlight stuff as the Holy Spirit gives us revelation into how it actually does apply to our lives in our walk with Jesus. And we have to have a joy for it. I feel like we used to say a lot more that God does not want your begrudging compliance. We used to say that like every Sunday, right? Somebody would say, look, God doesn't want you to follow the rules just to follow the rules. We can't follow them well enough to make a difference. God wants your heart. He wants you to do these things because you love him, because you have a love for his word. You want to know what it says. You want to know how to live a life that's submitted to Christ. You want to love the things that God loves. And don't worry, we're not all going to become Bible scholars, and that's fine. We're not all going to be experts in hermeneutics and exegesis. Some of you are going, I don't even know what those words mean. I had to look them up myself. But it's okay. Because if we have a love for God's word and we just keep at it, we're going to progress. You can understand it. And that's going to be hard for some of us. I understand that. It's going to be hard, but we can still love it. Just because something is hard doesn't mean that you can't love it. I wrestled in high school, and I was never great at it. I'm actually doing pretty well right there. And now my wife is rolling her eyes. She's like, another wrestling comparison. Yeah, I make them a lot because it was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do. It was difficult. The rigorous practice schedule, the weight cuts, being physically beaten on day in and day out for months out of the year was difficult. But I loved it. I loved it, and I always showed up for practice. I was always on weight, and I always left everything I had out on the mat. I'm a little older now. Now I leave everything I have in the Word. I get up every morning. Even on Sundays before I come in for band practice, I make sure I at least get like a psalm or two in. And I highlight things, and I take notes, and I have a journal that's sitting next to my Bible so that when God shows me something, I can write stuff down, and so I can remember it, and so I can give it to my kids when they're old enough to kind of understand some more of this stuff, and when I pass away, they'll have something. And when God shows me something else, I look across the room at my wife, and I talk to her about it, or if I don't understand something about it, I just say, hey, what do you think about this? And we talk about why God suffers vessels of wrath and why he hardens who he wills, even though we know we're probably not going to get to the bottom of these discussions. But we do it because we love it. And I know that I listen to a ton of sermons online. That's like what I do for fun. While most people are at work listening to music or whatever, I listen to sermons and I listen to Christian podcasts, and I'm probably never going to get to the level of some of these guys. Sorry. But I still get up and I still read and I still take notes because I love it. I love the Word of God. And it's not always easy. Like, I just got really excited and you were like, oh, man, yeah, the Bible. It's not always that easy. And it's okay. Genealogies. In-depth cleansing rituals. Blueprints for buildings. I don't even know how big a cubit is. But you read it because you love it. And sometimes, just sometimes, you're reading Leviticus and God shows you something. So you start to see the corruption in men's hearts when you realize that they're profiting from sacrifices made for other people's sin. And you start to realize that that corruption is in you. And you start to see God's grace in your life. You start to see God's mercy. You start to understand how the law was not meant to save you, even as you're reading it. And you just marvel at God's grace and the beauty of His Word. See, that's why I'm always on you guys. I always mention something about being in the Word in one of my sermons. I want you to see the beauty in it. I want you to see the beauty that I've seen in the places that I never thought that I'd see it. We're talking about God's armor. And all of it is practical. All of it has a use. All of it is something that we can use in everyday life. But you know what is the greatest part? Every single piece of that armor is beautiful. It's ornate. And it should cause awe in us because of the way that it looks and its usefulness. So if you live a life that is genuinely hidden in Christ, you want to know what God's Word says, even if you don't always feel like you understand it, even if it does not come easily, you want to know what it says because you have a genuine love for God. And that understanding doesn't have to come overnight. But if you've been walking with God for a while and you don't have a love for His Word, you have to let the Holy Spirit search you inside and out. And you have to find out why that is. Because if we don't have a love for God's Word, then we're never actually going to put it into action. See, we have to love it. We have to love the sword in order to swing it. And in order to swing it, we have to believe it. And we have to believe all of it. We can't just believe the stuff that we like. We can't cherry pick stuff. We can't just love the verses that say God is love and love thy neighbor and the parts about the miracles that bring people to see the light of Christ. All of that stuff is wonderful. All of that stuff is beautiful. But we have to believe the hard stuff too. See, the thing about the Bible is you either believe all of it or you believe none of it. We don't get to cherry pick. Spurgeon said, if there's a verse that you would like left out of the Bible, that is the verse that ought to stick to you like a blister until you really attend to its teaching. St. Augustine of Hippo said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and you reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel that you believe, it's yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, that's idolatry. Oh, ah! I feel bad. I forgot to warn you guys that we're going to have to take this sword to our own flesh too. Whoops. You know, if we're saved, we've felt that sword. We've been wounded by that sword. It's cut us open, and the Holy Spirit has shown us our sinful nature. He has shown us our deceit and our sinful desires. See, but once we're saved, when we have a genuine love for God's word, it's more like bloodletting or like cutting out a tumor. Sometimes a whole gangrenous limb needs to go. But the more we love his word, the less it creates wounds that need treating, and the more it treats wounds that we've let fester. You know what else is great about the fact that we've felt the sword and now we carry it? Is the sword now makes us empathetic. When we bring the sword to somebody, we swing it at them, and they do surrender, we can be empathetic to that. When people don't know how it is that they're going to live without their sin, even though they might want to, we can, after swinging the sword at them, we can bandage them up. We can bandage them up and say, you can do this. It's going to be all right. While the Holy Spirit heals them and makes them better than new. The sword gives us empathy. It gives us the ability to encourage so we can swing away with that knowledge. We can be joyful warriors. We can stop being political and we can start being biblical. You go to a town meeting, make sure you got your sword on your hip. You go to a PTA meeting, bring your Bible with you. Your boss wants you to do something that's not in line with the Word of God, makes you uncomfortable. Tell him what God says about it. Your children disobey you. Tell them what the Bible says. We can't be ashamed of the gospel. We can't let it be a stumbling block for discourse. For us, it's the starting block for discourse. Maybe what's best if you hear someone that says something out of line with what the Word of God says and what he expects from us, why don't you give them the warning that Isaiah gave to Israel? Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and you rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Because God said so. I'm going to bring the band back. We are all laid bare before the sword. We are all accountable to God's word and what he says in it, no matter whether you believe it or not. And if that's true, then I think we should at least let the world know what that word says. So what are we going to do this week? Are we going to pick up that Bible plan that we let sit for a while? Are we going to start memorizing the verses of scripture that our kids are supposed to be memorizing and they get on Wednesday nights? Are we going to read the word and really let it get in so that it affects the way that we live our lives day to day? Are the things that we post on social media going to be Bible verses and explanations of God's will and what he wants for his creatures? Or are we just going to complain some more? So let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray that God would empower us to swing his sword when we leave this place. That by his Spirit, we would be able to cut people free from the chains of their sin. That we would be able to chop down demonic strongholds in their lives. That we would destroy any lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of a holy, a gracious, a loving, and a powerful God. That's the way I'm going to pray. Pray that you'll pray with me. Lord God, we have a room full of people that you can turn into warriors. I would love to see that. God, I pray that you would help us to understand your word. Give us revelation into what your word truly says, into how you want us to live our lives so that we can bring that truth confidently to a world that desperately needs it now more than ever. Lord, that we would follow you in your footsteps, which you have for us, God. Lord, I pray even now that there are some people in this room that may never have seen the light before this, that there are people in this room that are wounded by this message. God, I pray that they would respond and surrender. Lord, help them to respond to it. God, can I get the prayer team up here? Lord, if there are people in this room that are wounded, that need prayer, that want to join your team, let me be the first to welcome them in, God. But God, that they would come up here, that they would unburden themselves of their sin, that they would repent and turn to Jesus, and that they would become joyful warriors. So if that is you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, come up front, talk to one of these people. They will help you. They will guide you. They will welcome you into the kingdom. We are glad to have you. And we rejoice that God has saved you this morning. Lord, you are glorious. You are holy. You are mighty. We give you praise. We give you glory this morning. And we lift high the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's sing praise to our God.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Break every chain.
chain, break every 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 chain.
Project video again. Let's just take a moment to look at what happened in the parking lot yesterday. And I want to encourage you, if you need physical healing of some sort, please come up. Get prayer. Don't be afraid.
All right, we're out here at the Blessing Project. This is my new friend, Debbie. She came. We were out of boxes. We had no food, but we still had God to give her.
Right.
She came with a brace on her wrist. She fell on the ice this week. And we prayed for her. And Debbie, what happened?
A miracle happened. A true miracle.
What did you do with the brace that was on your wrist?
I took the brace off, and I can move my hand and my fingers.
Who did that for you today?
God.
The Lord did, right?
Yes.
She came over here saying, there's so many people who need help. I don't need prayer. And we said, God truly cares about you. And what did he do?
A miracle.
He did a miracle.
It was a miracle. Now, I know the word today, it might have cut deeply, right? The sword of the Spirit is sharp. But I want to encourage you to have no fear, to get out there, to share the word of God with people. Don't be afraid. Wield that sword. The Holy Spirit will take you through there. We're gonna play that song one more time, and I want to encourage you, please come up if you need to. It's okay. All right, let's worship.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
every chain. He'll break every chain. He'll break every chain. He'll break every chain. 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 Break every chain.
That we encounter, the people that we encounter, Lord, every day. Lord, it's at this time that we're going to release you. Anybody who's over the age of 65, or if you're, you know, have any health ailments, you're free to leave at this time if you'd like. I'd like to encourage you, if you're not sure what to do next, if you did take Jesus into your heart today, please come up and talk to one of our prayer team ministers, or you can see me, see James, see Adam after the service. All right, I forgot I have the left side over here. You guys can go ahead and be released. All right, those of you on the right-hand side, you guys are go ahead, ready to be released. Forget to pick up your kids. We love having them, but you know, at the end of service, it's time for you to take them home. All right, gonna have this section right here in the middle. You guys are all set to be released. All right, in this section over here, you guys are all set. Have a great week. I can't wait to see you guys on Wednesday. Amen.